beautiful people. Welcome to a Thursday edition of Stoke and Josh. Matt Smith sitting in for Stoke today, and it is officially tournament time. Matt, how you doing today, sir?
Buddy, I'm doing great.
Fired up? Ready for a crazy day of sports?
The NCAA tournament always brings me so much nostalgia because I've been such a big basketball fan my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in school. You remember when March Madness streaming first came out?
Yeah.
When they first put it, because you could watch the game somewhere. I think it's like on the NCAA website for free.
Of course I remember. I was 26.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I was not. And I was still in school. And I remember we had this computer class, and the first year it came out, I remember we just all snuck down. We had it every day.
Yeah.
And we all snuck down and went to the computer class and pulled up the March Madness streaming. We're all in the back of the class, huddled around a couple of computers. It was great. No, I love the NCAA tournament. And of course, you know, we have representation in it.
That's right.
Officially.
That's right. The Buffs got it done. And we're going to talk about it all day. Let us know how you're feeling. Once your bracket's busted, you can vent to us at 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com text line. And then the same over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. It is a big day. Obviously, the Nuggets are in action tonight as well. But let's start with the Buffaloes, who got it done last night. They beat Boise State, handle their business, and are now going to go on to play Flo Rida on Friday. And, Matt, it was a game. I like what Tad said at the end of the first half in his interview. It's a slugfest. It's a nice way of saying it was ugly in the first half, and that's exactly what it was. But they figured some things out, answered the runs from Boise. That Lampkin tip-in was absolutely huge to get momentum back going with the Colorado Buffaloes, and they were able to hang on, led by Tristan Da Silva scoring and a big free throw from KJ Simpson there late that was sealing the deal. They didn't play great, but they got the win.
Yeah, that's two games in a row where I say they really haven't played great.
Yeah.
Against Oregon, their offense was just really stagnant. And then last night, more of the same. Both teams were tight. Both teams. It looked like both teams were Virginia the night before playing CSU. Both teams were really tight, came out. KJ Simpson did not have a good first half, but Tristan Da Silva did.
Yeah, he did.
And that is something, you and I talked about it off air the other day, but that is something, if the Buffs want any chance to advance in the tournament, that version of Tristan Da Silva has to come to play. He finished the night with 20 points, 7 of 11 from the field. That's as efficient as it's going to get from Tristan, and he was aggressive getting downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what really plagued them in the second half of the Pac-12 title game against Oregon. Nobody came to KJ Simpson's aid. It was just KJ. They were waiting around. It looked like the Avs sometimes with the top line, just waiting around watching, you know, hoping Nate could make a play, hoping KJ could make a play. So, yes, I would say it was an ugly game up until about 5 minutes left to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Buffs started, and they closed on a 17-6 run. Right? So really impressive to at least survive in advance, because that's what it's about. It doesn't have to be pretty this time of year. However, it can only not be pretty for so long, because eventually you're going to run into better competition, and that's going to come back to bite you. So we'll see with Florida. That's an interesting matchup. Florida is actually without their best player.
The big man, right?
Their 7-footer. Yeah. He is out for at least the opening round. I don't know any further than that, but That's a tough one. At least they have a day to rest up for that one, because Florida has some good guards. And in the tournament, I've always believed, Josh, and I don't know about you, but it's all about guard play.
Of course.
It's all about guard play. You need two dudes who can get their own to at least make a serious run. So we'll see how this tournament kicks off here in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm extremely excited. I'll say this. Cody Williams.
What happened there?
Completely MIA.
Mm-hmm.
He played 11 minutes, was 0-4. He had a couple of nice plays defensively, but it was almost as if he wasn't out there.
That's exactly what it felt like.
And I was up in Boulder yesterday with CU Football Media Day, and I was talking to some of the folks up there, and, you know, I know some stuff behind the scenes. Cody's fighting through that ankle injury,
okay, and
it's pretty bad. I'm not necessarily giving him an out.
Okay.
I'm just saying I think there's probably a reason why he's not as maybe explosive as he was to start the year. Now, that being said, he played terrible. So they're going to have to get something off their bench eventually, and we'll see if that happens Friday. But CSU, man, today, 5 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah, it's a big one for CSU. It's going to be Michigan State and Mississippi State that'll kick this thing off in about 10 minutes. So we'll keep you updated throughout the day, tell you about the big upsets or upsets in the making as we're rolling on. But back to Cody Williams for just for a second.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, the injury, I'll understand that. I'm not going to use it as an excuse, as you're not either. But he's just, like, disengaged. Remember we talked about Tristan Da Silva? Like, hey, you have everything the coach wants you to have to be a successful and a big-time contributing player to the team. And he just, just didn't put forth the effort that you want to see from a young man that is in his position that could give himself a big-time rise in the NBA draft with a solid showing in the NCAA tournament, and he absolutely did not show up in game one last night.
Yeah, that's a good point, because if Cody did come out and play well in the tournament, that could maybe bolster and maybe secure his status as a top five pick. As of right now, we all assume lottery pick, mm-hmm. but I mean, the guy who's showing up on the floor is nowhere near ready for the NBA. I kind of been treating him with kid gloves a little bit throughout the year because I know some stuff behind the scenes, but look, man, I mean, we're talking about you could be playing in your last ever college game on Friday. So, yeah, the price of poker goes up. It was disappointing. And you know, the other part about Colorado that slightly concerns me right now, Eddie Lampkin, their big man, mm-hmm. came in from TCU as a transfer this offseason. He's the one of two guys that has tournament experience on that team. He was not really a major factor throughout most of the year. But right now, they're playing through him. Mm-hmm. That concerns me because he gets a little bit loose with the basketball. How many? He had four turnovers last night. You're a big man who's not really, unless it's Jokic, who's playing point forward. Yeah. You know what I mean? Point center.
Mm-hmm.
You get four turnovers from your center. That's bad news in the tournament. And Colorado's got to take better care of the basketball.
Yeah.
That's something they do a little too easily as they beat themselves. And against a team like Florida, I mean, that's a better three-point shooting team than you saw last night. And the interesting part is, I thought defensively, Josh, they held up quite nicely.
That Dagenhart kid is a leading scorer at 6 points and zero in the first half.
Dagenhart.
I was not impressed. I mean, obviously not impressed with what he did, but I'm like, that's their best player.
how about this? Boise State, 0-10 all time in the tournament, and Leon Rice, their coach, 0-5.
Really?
0-5.
I saw the kid afterwards. He was about to tear up, and it said our time, and I was like, well, not today, young fella. Mm. Not today.
Buffs move on, but I'll tell you, Javon Hadley, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one who kept getting whacked in the face last night.
How many times
did
you get hit in the face,
like,
dude?
Four or five. I thought it was a really poorly officiated game.
I did
last
too. Who's Michael Irvin? Because he's doing a disrespect to that name with his refereeing skill.
that's a valid point. But you're going to need more from Hadley, because when he scores over 15 points, they've got a ridiculous record this year. Mm-hmm. That's a guy who's been a contributor. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, that's a tough matchup with Florida. They got a couple of good guards who can really fill it up. And with Colorado right now, last night was a little encouraging because I thought the game got physical to start. And typically, CU is a bit of a softer team if we're just calling a spade here.
Yeah.
Against SEC competition, that worries me a little bit because Florida is perennially a really athletic team who's very physical. But I thought the Buffs met the challenge last night. And I'll say this, they got a better draw, at least in the round of 64, than CSU.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they somehow go on to beat Florida, I don't hate the rest of the way for them to find a way to make somewhat of a run. Although they got to play way better than they have the last two games to be able to do anything like that.
Well, real quick on Lampkin, because they are running the offense. You're right, through him posting up, getting the ball, he throws the hand up, gets the big target. I actually don't mind that part of it. Maybe if Tristan gets going, you create that shot threat on the corner or elbow. I would just like, hey, if you're Tad, we want you to post up, and we want to run it through you sometimes, but you don't have to dribble the ball as much as you're dribbling the ball. It's a pivot foot. It's a turnaround. It's a post up. He's really good at using the basket as that secondary defender to get underneath on the other side, but use that movement to get there with your pivot foot rather than dribbling the basketball.
For him, it's about positioning.
Yeah.
If he has to put, like you say, if he has to put the ball on the floor too many times, if he catches it like the mid post, then it's like, oh boy. Now, your decision making could be a little suspect there, which is why I say, they weren't playing through him all year, and now they're playing through him. And I think because of that, their offense is getting pretty stagnant, and you cannot have that in the tournament. One of the things that I'll say that Tad doesn't run a lot of set plays, okay? It's basically you're a basketball player within the system, and you make a basketball play within their structure. when you trust college kids to do that too much, sometimes you can go on scoring droughts. And I think throughout Tad's tenure in Boulder, that has been one issue he's never really wrangled. And so in the tournament, Josh, that's a little terrifying. Now, the Buffs held Boise State scoreless the last 4-16, but Colorado themselves had like two or three three-minute stretches without a basket. That's the stuff that will burn you later in the tournament. So we'll see how they approach things on Friday, and hopefully they can get Julian Hammond back, former Cherry Creek star. That would be big for them.
Mm-hmm. All right, I do want to talk to you about your day in Boulder yesterday. We're going to do that coming up. You can maybe sneak in a final bracket real quick at denversports.com/hoops. Our Sport Clips 5K bracket challenge closes before the first game tips off in like 4 minutes, so you might be able to sneak one in if you haven't done it, but shame on you for waiting this long. $5,000 is on the line. Go do it.
Have you and I figured out our terms yet?
No, we're going to do that right here.
Okay, I mean, we got 4 minutes to do it.
We'll do that, tell you what it is. And I want to talk a little bit about Prime. I want to talk about Shador and all the conversation about the future of Shador Sanders. That's coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, tournament is underway. Michigan State, Mississippi State have officially tipped off. They are game one of round one. We'll keep you updated throughout it. What'd you say? We're company men here today, rooting for Michigan State because of Richie Carney.
We have to. Yeah, you want to see your boys flourish here. You know, I got no ties to Mississippi State whatsoever. I got tied up Michigan State because Rich a big fan.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, you haven't seen Richie in the full Michigan State get up yet.
No, I haven't.
I think it's just, you know, he's just trying to be professional, you know.
Sure.
But he's got the jumpsuit and the overalls and the whole nine.
Stripes.
Oh, yeah.
Stripes.
Oh, big time. Absolutely.
I actually respect that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so look, I'm looking forward to today. It's going to be the first 2 days of the tournament are the best, arguably the best sporting days of the year if you're a basketball fan.
I've once said that, you know, if I'm going to run for president of sports, a couple of my campaigns are the world gets Thursday and Friday off here for the first round of the tournament, and the Monday after the Super Bowl, nobody has to work. So if I'm president of sports.
Running for president of sports, gosh, I like that.
You like
I want to. Tomorrow, can we come up with our platforms?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
With our platforms, what would you run your campaign on?
And
I like that.
And then the people will have to tell us which they would vote for, you or I.
Okay.
That's kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I may rig that one.
Well, then it would feel real, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I want a recount.
Oh, yeah.
I might. Kevin may be my running mate, by the way. So
I'll be your VP.
He is VP.
He's my Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy.
Me and Kev.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, Grant, we'll do that tomorrow and have some fun.
Okay.
You were in Boulder yesterday.
I was.
You were taking in media day. You got to talk to Prime, Shador, the whole crew. Pat Shermer, I saw you chatting with up there. Was Dion grouchy, or was it just Dion?
Interesting. So, a lot of takeaways from yesterday. We haven't spoken to anybody locally since the Utah game to end the season. As I told you a few days ago, they refused to do any interview with local media. National media, they had no problem, but
sure,
they refused to do any local media. So, that was our first opportunity. Prime came in. He had some things on his mind, as he typically always does. However, what I noticed in him was a bit of a shift yesterday. I think the first year, a lot of what he was doing was pitching and selling. And, you know, he was really trying to resuscitate a dead program, which mission accomplished in that regard. But clearly, the on-field results were underwhelming to end the season, losing 8 of 9. Well, you always kind of knew that once Dion got his guys, you would see a little bit more confidence, because as much as he even talked last year, once they got their teeth kicked in by Oregon, that kind of brought all of it down just a little bit when things were put in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew what they had, and he knew that would eventually happen, as we all did last season. Well, there's a shift. He's pretty confident with what they brought in, and I think part of what you saw yesterday from him was a reflection of him knowing he can talk like that because he's got the guys now. That was interesting to see, because that was a shift. There was for sure more confidence, and I would say maybe more competitive nature, because it's hard when you're an ultra competitor, Josh, to dial it up when you know you don't have the team for it. You can do it, but eventually it kind of loses steam naturally because, of course, you don't have the team for it.
Sure.
But what I really felt coming out of that yesterday was they feel much better about where they're at right now.
Okay. Look, I got to give you some pushback on that, though, because didn't he do all that same stuff a year ago?
It was different.
The Louis and the I'm bringing my guys and...
No. So that part of it he did last year, he didn't do that stuff yesterday. What he did yesterday was more about the football.
Oh, okay.
He talked much more at length about what they accomplished in the offseason, the guys that they brought in, and he kind of referred to last year in the past because it is a different team than it was last year. You're seeing a lot more competitive edge in practice, which I think is a good thing. That team got pushed around in the trenches, both sides of the football last year. And so, yeah, you had the Louis and you had that talk, but when did that talk stop?
Well, when they started losing.
Yes. But now, and if you didn't have the team that you felt confident in coming back, you probably aren't up on your high horse, even if you're Deion like that. Yesterday was interesting. He brought up a few things, and at the end of it, he called out an article that claimed he hasn't been on one in-home visit, which we could talk about a little bit later.
That actually, I was not a fan of that response, the answer of what he was doing at all. It was the wrong approach for me.
There was some prime in there.
Oh, yeah.
But there was some truth in there, too. The point was, is I think that he had a list of things that he didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, all right, well, let's get this out of the way now because there's some narratives going around where, look, as far as the in-home visits go, here was the point he was trying to make. Look, I'm a celebrity, and people are going to hate on me if I go somewhere and then don't visit the other school.
Yeah.
Which, okay, maybe. It's a little convoluted to think that way, in my opinion. But the real point of it is that he's recruiting out of the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
He's not recruiting out of high school, mostly. You really don't do visits, at least in-home, with portal guys. So I get where he's coming from there. Look, I almost asked him after he responded that way. I almost said, well, did you do one with Jordan Seaton? And I couldn't bring myself to be that snarky. But he didn't. I found out he didn't.
So because Jordan came to Boulder, right?
And that was essentially what his point was.
And then
was.
They brought Jordan to wherever the Super Bowl was this year, Las Vegas, to do rounds with Prime and crew. So right. Jordan, that was like Jordan's recruiting trip, I guess.
Yeah. I could tell that they're more confident. I think he's more confident in the coordinators. And he learned last year more than he wants to lead on. And in fact, I thought he was more transparent about the issues last year, yesterday, than he's been in the past. He talked about the fact that he made mistakes in game management.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
He's never owned that before.
Mm-hmm. He made a lot of mistakes in game management.
And he said that, look, we missed the boat a few times. And, you know, I try and do the best to prepare myself for every situation. But that was at least an omission. There are a lot of people who said he never takes responsibility. Well, that's taking responsibility. Yeah. And he also talked about how he learned that when you're hiring coaches, sometimes you think, all right, look at what they've done. Let's bottle it up and bring it over here. And even if it would work at a bunch of different schools, maybe it just won't work for you. And I think the Sean Lewis experiment really taught him a lot about hiring coaches, what fits and what doesn't. And even if it works and it could be a fit somewhere else, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is for you.
Yeah.
And that's where Shurmur comes into play.
I was watching your videos with Shurmur.
Yeah.
Was he a little nervous, Nelly? Why was his leg shaking the whole time? That's what stood out to me the most.
I think he was a little bit, well, look, he's taking a lot of heat.
They warranted.
I think that you would naturally have your guard up if you've taken a lot of heat.
Okay.
And so I think there was part of that to it. But the thing is, once Pat gets going, he doesn't want to stop. Like they said, all right, Pat, last question. And then he answered and just sat there waiting for more, which we would have asked him if Prime wasn't coming up after him. So he's a personable guy to an extent. You know, I wouldn't say he's got the most dynamic personality, but it fits with what they're doing. It does.
Okay.
And he and Shadur have a good relationship. So Buffs fans ought to be hopeful in that. You got to give the guy a fresh start, I think. It's a completely different situation than it was with the Broncos.
I mean, I do like reading your tweets and going back on your timeline of how he said, I'm more energized. I got a new, like, look, an outlook on what football is with these young people. Like, I did like hearing that, but I don't need to hear anything from Pat.
Yeah, you
need
to see
everything from Pat.
Totally fair. I wouldn't, and again, I've said this entire time, I don't expect to convince anybody that he is going to come in and light the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to prove it. But I asked him that question because I did see a different version of the man at the end of the season than I did at the beginning of the year. He spent 25 years in the NFL, and now he comes to college as an analyst at the last minute. Training camp's already going on. Yeah. He doesn't really know what he's, and he's really not allowed to be on-field coaching either. So it's an awkward position at the beginning of last season. Well, you know, he starts to get more in Deion's ear, and he and Shadur get closer, and he starts to maybe do a little coaching on the field that maybe you're not really supposed to be doing. And then, okay, now he's co-OC calling the plays by halfway through the season. And I'll tell you, at the end of the year, I saw a guy who's fired up. Like, I just saw a guy who was really enjoying himself. And I think for Pat, maybe, look, you're bounced around. You're a suitcase in the NFL for 25 years. That probably gets a little stale.
Oh, I guarantee you.
So I did see a re-energized guy at the end of the year. And I've got examples to back it up. And so I asked him. I said, it kind of appeared to me that by the end of last season, you were a different person. You felt re-energized. He's like, he even told me, he goes, I'm really glad you brought that up because I wanted to get there more than anything I wanted to say today. It's true. So
We're going to keep that going because I actually want to learn more about Shurmur. I want to get into a conversation about Shadur. I went back and looked at the top five quarterbacks that are going to be picked in the first round of this draft, or the top quarterbacks that are going to be picked, and I want to know if Shadur can accumulate the stats they were able to in 23 here in 24. We'll have that conversation coming up, but when we get back, I want to check in a bit with Adam Schefter on to why Justin Simmons doesn't have a home and some of the drama already happening there in Pittsburgh and what it could mean for the future of Russell Wilson. We'll hit it next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Matt, it is round one. We're going to be all over March Madness coming up today. But as the games are starting to get underway, Mississippi State, Michigan State doing their thing. I wanted to talk a little bit about some football and start with Justin Simmons. Why hasn't Justin Simmons found a home? That is what Adam Schefter discussed yesterday.
I don't have a projected home for you right now. I think in part because the safety market has been so crowded. If you go back and look, that may have been the most crowded position. They're running back, and the running backs went on early, but the safeties are still out there, and Justin Simmons is going to be pretty selective as a guy who's intercepted more passes than any player in the league since 2018. So he can afford to be a little bit selective. I don't know where he's going to wind up right now. I don't have a home to give you for Justin Simmons. But, again, you look at the safeties that have been out there. Jamal Adams is still out there. Other safeties still out there. Justin Simmons still out there. Don't have a home for you right now.
So it's just an oversaturated market. That's why Justin Simmons has yet to find a home. I also heard, who was it, Philly, I believe, that was interested in him early on, and the price tag was too much. That's also an interesting side of it for me, Matt. If you're Justin Simmons, you know, you've been on a bad football team your entire career. You have not sniffed the playoffs once. Wouldn't you be willing to take a little less cash to go play for a contender? Or, look, I'm not mad at this either, Matt, because I'm very petty, shallow, and love money. I would take money over, I don't know, maybe not winning in his situation, but I could understand maybe why he would pick money over winning.
I don't know if that's necessarily the reason. Who knows where he's really been offered? I mean, first of all, he doesn't want to take a massive haircut. I think we understand that about Justin Simmons, right? He didn't really want to renegotiate here. I'm not sure. I thought I read that. Anyway, regardless, point is, To Schefter's, you know, comment there, there are a ton of safeties left on the market. Jamal Adams is still on the market. But if we're looking at free safeties, Eddie Jackson, Quandre Diggs, Tracy Walker, Marcus May, Adrian Phillips, Tayshawn Gibson, there are some names out there. He may have to wait a little bit closer, maybe to OTAs and maybe even after that. Although,
see what happens in the draft with teams.
I think that's probably what teams are saying is I'm not really looking to pay you $10 million right now. I bet you there are $7 million offers on the table or something like that for Justin Simmons, but he's probably holding out for like 11 to 13 at a minimum. I mean, the Broncos declined, what was it going to be, 14 and a half?
14 and a half, yeah.
So I imagine he wants to get as close to that as he possibly can, but it's also situation, fit. You got to make sure that the team that you signed to, you don't want to make an early decision and then some team picks up a safety, you know, early in the draft or something like that. Or, you know, you've got to go into a situation where you're competing for playing time. It is a little curious, though, because he's a real difference maker on the back end, much more than Jamal Adams, Eddie Jackson, Quandre Diggs, Micah Hyde. I'd taken Justin Simmons over any of those guys.
Me too.
So it is a little curious. It probably won't, maybe it won't take forever, but for Justin, he's got all the leverage in this situation. He can wait it out.
Yeah, he absolutely can. And then pick a contender with the highest offer after the draft or come OTAs or, I mean, hell, even July. Maybe even wait till July.
This isn't going to be a Dalton Risner, where Risner thought value is one thing, waited the market out, and then turned out he didn't have a team, at least with a real role for him, until midway through the year. Mm-hmm. Somebody will come get Justin Simmons eventually. It'll probably end up being like 8.5. But if it's going to be like 8.5, I'm sure he's going to want term on the contract. He's probably going to want several years. I mean, he's got a family. He's, what, 30 now? So you probably don't want to be bounced around too much. I'd like to find one spot and kind of settle down.
Let's hope he can take care of that family with 8.5 per. I hope they can settle
in.
You
being sarcastic?
No. Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay. I don't think it was ever in question whether or not he was going to be able to take care of the family.
He is a great player, though, and you're right. He's going to find a home.
A little jealous, Josh.
Oh, I am jealous. Okay. Absolutely.
A little resentful.
Envy.
Feelings of greed, resentment, jealousy.
Okay. Maybe not resentment. I mean, I like him.
I don't know.
I'm happy for him, right? Okay. Good for you, Justin. Can't you tell I'm happy
he'll
for
be,
him?
He'll be on a team making plays. I mean, he's still got at least probably three really productive seasons left.
That's right. Dude, anytime a quarterback throws one up for the center fielder to catch, Justin Simmons is going to catch that bad boy. I promise you that, Matt Smith. All right, you want to talk about Russell Wilson for a second. First, he sold his home. The home here in Cherry Hills.
That's sold?
It's sold.
Why did I? Okay.
He did have to take a $3.5 million
haircut. I knew he wouldn't get all the money out of that house. Nobody's buying that house with 4 bedrooms, 12 baths. Who? So he took a $3 million haircut, so what? Somebody bought that for $22
million? $21.5 million.
Jeez.
Must be nice, huh, for somebody over there?
It's a good property. You just got to convert a couple of those bathrooms into bedrooms and, you know, retrofit it for, you know, most people.
For a normal family. Yeah,
I guess. Absolutely. Unless you were, like, you know, uber rich and had young kids. Maybe that makes sense.
Maybe they bought it to rent it out for TikTokers so that TikTokers can go in the bathroom where the good lighting is and fire their videos off. That could be a situation as well.
A couple of weird takes for me in this.
What do you
mean? Weird ones. A couple of women. Yeah, I mean, kids. TikTokers in the back. You like the TikTokers in the back? Look,
I don't like them. I'm making fun of them.
I'm actually shocked that he sold that place because it was over $9 million more than the biggest home sale ever when he made the purchase. So I knew he wasn't going to get all that money out of that house, though.
Well, the other report from Schefter, and this was from an NFL executive that Adam Schefter had talked to, is that they're going to have this quarterback battle in Pittsburgh, see how it plays out, and if Fields is the winner, guess what happens to Russ? He gets cut. He gets cut from the Pittsburgh
team. That ain't happening.
You ain't buying it.
No.
Why would they keep him around?
Why would they?
Because I'm buying it.
He will be the starter week one. They will ride him until they can't anymore. And then it'll be Fields. And Tomlin will eventually be out the door after that.
Do you think Russ wins the quarterback competition outright?
Oh, no. No, I think politics-wise, he's going to be handed the quarterback competition.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that
I'd buy that. Why would Mike Tomlin just give it to him? He owes nothing to Russ.
Because Mike Tomlin wants to keep his winning record for his entire career in place. He doesn't want to sacrifice that. I guarantee he doesn't want to sacrifice that. Why would you?
No,
I would absolutely let Russ in that situation if you're Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh made the playoffs last year with Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky was.
Yeah, he did play early.
It
was Rudolph, it was Pickett, and Trubisky.
Point is this. He's going to let Russ have a couple of weeks. I mean, we heard from Ian Rappaport that when the Steelers made that trade with the Bears, they called Russ and told him that he's the starter. So I believe that. I believe that Russ will be the starter, Fields will be the backup, and eventually they'll go to Fields.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, when does Fields play? 8.5? Week 8.5? Over under week 8.5?
I might go under. Might go under like 6, probably. I don't think it's as written in stone that Russ will just win it. If I'm Pittsburgh, I try not to look at Russell Wilson as Russell Wilson. I go, I've got a veteran quarterback on a minimum salary, and I treat him accordingly. You got to come and prove it. You got to come and win it. You can do all your videos and talk about how you got 5 to 7 years left and the best football in front of you and you're back to feeling like yourself again. But if you don't show me that, you're out.
You bringing in Russ to be a backup?
No, that's why I'd cut him. If Justin wins, he gets cut.
Which is why even sign him and go through all that if you're not going to start him? That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Why even broach that topic unless you're just going to say, hey, we're rolling you out the first couple of weeks. Let's see how it goes.
What do you think, Broncos fans? 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com, text line open, rolling, want to hear from you there. We're going to have an interesting question to answer coming up, Matt. ponder over this during the break. Who returns to the postseason first, the Broncos or the Rockies? And is it disrespectful to even ask that question? I think it is, but we'll answer it next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Matt, I asked a question about playoffs. I also do enjoy some of the Rusties weighing in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Y'all staying strong.
Russ Hives out.
For your boy, Russell Wilson. Yeah, I appreciate that they do it. I think you're kind of crazy, but I appreciate that you stand up for your guy there, Russell Wilson. Keep the conversation going on that text line.
Were they getting on you? Because I was only giving Russ credit there.
Yeah, no, they were getting on me.
Good.
Somebody said I'm
good. As long as we all agree that you're wrong.
I'm dog poop, according to one texter.
I mean, he makes a good point.
You can call me whatever you want.
Just guy makes a valid
tune
point.
Tune in, you know. Call me anything. Just listen. All right. I asked you the question. And I do feel like it's disrespectful to ask it, but we're going to ask it. We're going to answer it. Postseason, the return to the postseason, who does it happen for first? The Colorado Rockies, who will kick off their season next week.
Huh?
Or...
Huh?
What do you mean? They're going to kick off their season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes.
Oh, you're saying the Rockies. Okay. I see what you're saying. Uh-huh. Or, well, hey, the Denver Broncos, Matt. You want to give me the
Broncos
there?
Broncos.
Broncos, why? Yes.
Because they've got an owner who is actively trying to win and not just trying to maintain good attendance at the ballpark. That's why. Because Greg Penner has a reputation to uphold. The Lodfords don't give, you know, two Cracker Jacks.
They got a reputation. It's about cash.
No kidding. And they uphold it. But no, the Broncos. Broncos.
Really?
Yeah, to me, that's not even close.
Yeah, I would lean towards the Broncos, but I don't know that I can necessarily fully write it off if... The Broncos can be a contender again in a season if everything goes right this offseason. You want to know what's gone right so far? Absolutely nothing. Well, they traded Jerry Jeudy, so I should check that. One thing's gone right. They got rid of that dude from the locker room, which was long overdue. So everything can go right, and they can be contenders again. Now, to your point of what the Colorado Rockies are, all right, they got a couple. I really like Zeke Tovar. I like some of the guys that are out there, but they still have to pay Chris Bryant all that money. They're still paying a 38-year-old Charlie Blackmon all the money and the production that he may not provide now that he's on the back end of this stuff. I don't think it's as easy as just, hey, Broncos, because so many things have to go right here over the next month for them to really be in that conversation of returning to form. Now, the Rockies are the Rockies, I get it, but it's not as big of a gap in my mind as I think you think it is.
The Broncos are just now beginning to rebuild. The Rockies have been rebuilding for, when did Nolan get traded? What year was that? 18? Or is that too, that's too early?
Might be too early, yeah.
Point is, Rockies have been trying to do it for a few years. They've made absolutely no progress.
February 21.
They've made absolutely no progress, and they've got like a middle-of-the-road payroll. So they're spending money, but just aimlessly.
On the wrong things.
Yes. I'm looking at a Broncos organization that, okay, they've made some really bad decisions, Josh, but they, by and large, for the last decade, they really haven't had leadership. They really haven't had steady ownership. And that's a huge deal in the NFL. And now you have the richest owner in the NFL who is a competitor and wants to win. The man is ridiculously successful. The whole family. And then you've got all the other partners in the Walton Penner family ownership group. You've got a lot of success there, and they demand excellence. They went out and got Sean Payton. The Rockies, I mean, look, Bud Black can't go, you know, pitch and hit himself. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you got to mix it up every now and again, man. I mean, if you're not going to get prospects, maybe you ought to do things a different way at some point in time. The Rockies are just, they got it in cruise control, brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in first gear going up the hill, just easy breezy.
You are right about that with what their model is and what they want to do. I was actually shocked this week to hear people surprised that the Rockies and Bud Black were having contract extensions. Why would that surprise anybody?
Exactly.
Bud Black is he's a good soldier. And they're going to reward him for being that.
The quest for 500 ball burns eternal down there. Okay? It does. It does. If I asked you this question, how would you answer it? What are the Rockies trying to accomplish as an organization?
Ticket sales.
Okay. What are the Broncos trying to accomplish as an organization?
They're trying to win.
Okay.
That's it. You know what? You just won that. I hate to say that, but that was a good one right there, Matt.
Give me that compilation in the one shining moment at the end of the week.
That was a really good way to phrase it, Matt Smith. Good work right
there. Thank you, pal.
All right. I want to ask you about Major League Baseball. Will and I got into it yesterday. Well, first of all, how big of a baseball guy are you?
Huge.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you think of playing in Korea for a real game, but then to come back and play some fake games before the real games actually start again, if you followed?
Who cares? I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so flippant about it.
So you're not a big baseball guy,
no,
I guess.
No. I am a big baseball guy, but I'm not going to ride or die with decisions like that. I think more interesting is what's happening in Korea with Shohei, because mm-hmm. that's an onion that's got some layers to it.
I mean, there's that story. We can get into it, but...
Baseball has disappointed me so much, but part of it is also... I think just as a society, we're starting to move past baseball in a lot of ways. You got to have a different attention span. And you really only love baseball if you played it for the most part, you know, so, or softball or something like that, or had connection to the game. I just feel like it's not in our modern zeitgeist as much as it used to be, which is kind of heartbreaking for me because, you know, look, I grew up, you know, in Chicago during the home run race. That's how I fell in love with baseball.
Awesome, yeah.
So for me...
But does it still hold that same...
No.
Not even there?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow.
No, I think when I walk into Wrigley, yes. But outside of that, it's just... And then the Cubs won in 16. And for me, that's what I needed to see. And and now I could be a Rockies fan because I'm just chill now.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't be a Rockies fan, but I could be because that's my attitude.
Yeah. All right. I see what you're saying. Well, I don't know. I would imagine sports talk in Boston breaks down the Red Sox. Sports talk in New York is getting
LA
after the Yankees and the Dodgers. I mean, there's a ton of Dodgers talk going on in Los Angeles Airways. I think it's here. And that's kind of my upbringing is without baseball. And I didn't play a lot of baseball. I'm actually terrible at baseball.
I could see that.
You could?
Mm-hmm. I could see that. Yeah.
It's so weird. I actually have, I think I told Kevin this once. I was in a media league not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
softball. Oh, it's not the same, first of all.
It is.
It's not.
And in one inning, Matt, I dove for 3 fly balls, missed all of them, and then had to get up and go chase it at the fence.
That sounds about right.
That was my last game. I told the guys I'm not going to show up anymore.
As I said, looking at you just sitting here, that's the cut of the jib.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I look like a basketball player is what you're saying.
Skateboarding. I could see skateboarding. Skateboarding. What do you think, Kez?
I see tennis.
Tennis,
oh,
maybe.
Tennis. Yeah. Okay.
Lawn darts.
Oh, dude. I'm down for lawn darts.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for
definitely
sure.
Down. But
bocce ball, maybe even.
I'm down a little bocce ball. But baseball was just never. Basketball was the thing. And then coming to Colorado in the early 90s when I came, and it was, all right, well, it's a Broncos town. It's a bus town at that time, right? It was all about football. And the Rockies come, obviously. They were what they were, Blake Street Bombers, EY. But then they were just always the little, you know, the little engine that couldn't. And I never really hitched my wagon to it. You know where my wagon is hitched when it comes to the Rockies? I'm one of these people, Matt. It's
the party deck.
Yeah, I love the party deck.
Yeah.
Let me get up there and have a couple of pops and have some fun with my girl or my friends, and that's what I'm attached to, not the team.
Keep it rocking, Mumfords. You've got one satisfied customer right here.
Yes.
It's all you've ever wanted.
They're doing a great job up there, at least as far as that end of it goes. But all right, 303-713-1043, RamosLaw.com text line. You can hit us up right there. You can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Michigan State, Mississippi State, Spartans handling some business here early in the first half, I guess late in the first half. We will come back, look at what CU was able to do to get by Boise State and give you an update on this game as the schedule starts to roll on here. Matt Smith sitting in for Brandon Stokely. I'm Josh Dover. It's 104.3 The Fan.